somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone.
Help! Good morning, everybody. Wake up.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
I'm Bo Mitchell.
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
This is You Get the Blessing.
But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
And you're listening to the greatest quartet ever.
I'll open up the doors.
The Beatles. Isn't it true, folks? Everybody needs help from time to time. That's why our program is on every week for the last dozen years, just to provide help by introducing you to people that we believe are impacting this community for Christ and helping people. Our guest today is Mercy Tucker. Mercy, it's good to have Mercy here. Mercy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Mercy, Grace. You know, we have a daughter that we were going to name. We have three daughters we were going to name Shirley, Goodness, and Mercy, but we were afraid they would follow us all the days of our lives, so we didn't.
My name actually does not even come from a spiritual reference. My parents had not named me when they left the hospital, and they were behind a Mercedes.
Oh, my.
And my father said, let's just name her Mercedes.
Your mom said Mercy.
And she said, we can just call her Mercy, and little did they know that God was going to use that name in my life.
Amen.
Definitely.
And I thank you, Bob Horner, for that Shirley Goodness and Mercy memory. But Mercy Tucker, we're glad you're here. Tell us where you were raised and what was going on in your home as a kid.
So I grew up in a small farming community, Eden, Idaho. And
Eden.
Eden.
There you go.
There it
grew
is.
Grew up in Eden.
And I...
What size town is Eden?
Oh, maybe 425 people.
Wow.
Very rural.
How many years were you there?
So I was there all the way through high school. And I grew up in a small Episcopal church. And that is really where I got to know church, was there. My family was a good family, but we also had alcoholism in our family.
We did too.
Yes.
Everybody in my family would say, I'll drink to that. Uncles, my dad, not my mom, but a lot of, it makes for, you never know if you're going to get stroked or swatted when you're dealing with an alcoholic.
That was my growing up in some ways. And we ended up going though to an Episcopal church. My mom took us. My brother and I have an older brother every Sunday. And I really did learn community there. When you get further in your life and you see different types of churches. And I really did have a church that was just focused on community. And I can remember, though, even in that place of my home, like I remember as a little girl, and not that anybody ever even told me this, I can remember running to my closet and finding God there, and that I knew. That he was the only one that I could trust. And I just remember that from a little girl, just anything that would go on or happen, I had him, and I would just give it all to him, and that he really was where I was getting my strength.
So you can remember making a commitment to Jesus Christ even as a little kid?
Yeah, I don't think I had like a formal commitment at that point. I feel like it was more just, I knew that he was God, and he loved me. And it got me through, for sure. And I lived in Eden. I grew up all the way through high school. Had a great high school years, like, you know, just friendships and just doing all the things that you just try to make stuff to do because there's nothing to do in a rural town.
There's stuff to do.
Well, there's stuff to do.
Hope you weren't doing all
well,
that stuff.
And, you know, and I ended up just in with a great group of friends. That was the other thing, you know, I just ended up with a great group of friends. So we were doing things like going to the Traveler's Oasis and having scones late at night and all that.
Good
yeah.
Stuff.
You know, just good stuff. The good stuff.
That's great. Where'd you go from there?
So then I knew that I did know that I wanted to leave Idaho. So I ended up at Pepperdine University in Southern California.
Wow, now that's quite a jump.
That was a jump.
How did you make that jump?
It was my senior year of high school. We went to Pepperdine just to visit with a bunch of friends, and I got on the campus and I was like,
heaven.
This is just where I need to be. But it was like, you know, all of the application process had already happened. So it was almost impossible for me to get in, but I walked into the application office at Pepperdine and I said, I would love to go to school here. What can I fill out an application? Can I have an interview? And they did it right there on the spot. And I thought it was, you know, it was impossible. It wasn't going to happen that next fall. And yeah, a couple of months later, I got
made good grades.
I did make good grades. That did.
And they looked at you and said, yes, you're in.
So, and God knew I needed to be there.
Overlooking the ocean.
It was just overlooking the ocean. I'm telling you, you go into that library, there's not a lot of studying that's going on in that library at Pepperdine University.
Well, I haven't been there much, but I do know it's beautiful. And you had a good experience there?
It's a good experience. I ended up studying in Heidelberg, Germany for a year. And I would say that is really where I ended up.
Semester overseas.
So a whole year overseas.
And, wow.
And I would say that is really where I ended up giving my, like, knowing that Christ was my life. Like, you know, I'd known him and, you know, like I said, I knew he loved me. But I think at that point was when I said, you can have my life. You do with it what you will.
Someone give you an invitation or impact you in the way that you thought?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple of, you know, girls there that were good friends of mine that just were discipling me, that were just taking me to the Word of God. And we were reading it constantly. And I can remember that one of the very first times, it was the end of that year, I really felt that God was, however you say that, like speaking to you, you know, you just know that you know something. And I knew that he was asking me after that year to go back home. And it was about my dad. It was to get things right with my dad and my growing up. And I knew that was God, because that is not something that I would ever choose to do. I was like, I had left Idaho and I was never coming back. And I went back that summer, and all he said for me to do was serve my dad.
So your dad had mistreated you in a number of ways?
No, it was more, he just was a functional alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad, never physical, but boy, could he get tough verbally. He could say some things that I don't want to repeat here. Is that what was going on?
At times, I think it was more just his absence, honestly. I just think as a young girl, like, as you know, as a daughter, you just so long for that attention and time. And I think it was just more he was starting a business and he was on his way. And I just wasn't really a part of that.
So did you get it patched up?
And so I ended up, what the Lord asked me to do was, he just said, serve him. Go home and serve him. And I was like, Lord, I will do this for you. I cannot do this for him. At that point in my relationship with him, it was really tough, but I did. Mm-hmm. I went home. The first book God brought me to was the book of Job. I read through the book of Job, you know, and it gets to those parts in Job where it says, where were you? You know, I just felt like I was just coming to this understanding of how big God is and how much he can do. And so it was that, and then yes, and then just serving my dad all summer. I'm telling you, it completely turned my heart. My relationship with my dad is a completely different relationship now.
Where does he live now?
He's still in Idaho. Yep.
And I hope he comes to see you here rather than you have to go back to Eden.
It's both. He's actually in Boise, Idaho now, but yes, it's both.
We got a baseball team in Boise, Idaho. The Rockies do.
Okay.
So we're talking to Mercy Tucker, our guest today, and she's co-director of Project ICU, and I want to start moving in that direction after we finish your background here a little bit. But that's very interesting about your journey from Eden to Pepperdine to Germany to back home to serve your dad.
Yeah.
Then did you fall in love and get married?
I did at Pepperdine. I met my husband, Greg, and we just ended up, right after college, moving to Philadelphia. He was living with a bunch of guys and I was living with a bunch of girls, and we were just getting jobs out of college for the first time. And it was there that we just knew that it was the two of us. And
God deal.
And it really was. It was like, I there was not another man that I felt like I can't be without him. I did know. And that gets you through. I'm telling you, in marriage, to know, it gets you through some
of this. How many years married now?
Almost 20.
Good.
It was 20 years.
46 for me.
Okay.
I got engaged in 3 weeks because I thought...
2 years on me.
I don't want to go anywhere without this woman. Her birthday was recently.
Okay.
She didn't want to talk about that. So what happened next, Mercy? How did you wind
up doing what you're doing? We ended up moving to Colorado, back to Colorado right after we got married. And I was in a counseling program here, Colorado Christian University. I got my master's. And
Good place.
And ended up going to Lookout Mountain Community Church at that time. And they were actually serving a community in the Dominican Republic. They'd been serving a community there for a long time. And it was just one of those that I ended up going on a trip to the DR. And I got there and I felt like this is a place that I'm going to live. And I came back and told Greg, and he said, I think that you're having one of your mountaintop high experiences, like after you've been on your mission trip or your camp high. But he said, let's pray about it. And we prayed about it for a couple of years, and that we ended up leaving. And we had a daughter at that point, Taryn. She was almost four. And then our little guy at that point, James, was 1.5. And we left with our two kids, left everything, and went to live in the Dominican Republic. And that is really where the beginning of Project ICU started.
Taryn Tucker. Sounds like a country western singer.
She isn't.
She's not yet.
She's not.
Okay.
She's going to be something, but.
How old?
Just now she's 15.
Okay.
Yes.
So keep going.
So we were in the Dominican Republic and a tropical storm hit, Tropical Storm Noel, and it flooded a community. We were already in the barrio, Campo, but it flooded a community that wasn't too far away. And so we ended up, because we were right there, we could give relief. And so through Lookout Mountain and church, we ended up going house to house just to ask what we could do. And I ended up started meeting some women out there, a lot of single mothers, a lot of mothers that were just trying to put beans and rice on the table for their kids. And just felt like after the relief work all got done, I couldn't get out of my mind or my heart that I needed to keep going back out there and just being with them. And so that really is one of the beginning of Project ICU, was when there a group of women from Colorado, led by my friend Angie Johnston, ended up bringing these women to the Dominican Republic. And there was just this interface of women from Colorado and the Dominican Republic. And all I can say is that the presence of God was just there and healing and working and moving. And so those women from Colorado go back and tell other women. And so the beginning of our ministry was just these immersion trips, just bringing these women to kind of have this experience and just relationship with these women in the Dominican Republic. And it was so reciprocal. It was so all of us serving and loving each other.
You getting blessed.
Blessed. Yes. Like, and it was changing all of us. And so we just kept talking about it. More women start coming to the point where it's like, we need to have a name and we need to have a website, you know, it's like, and so it became Project ICU. And Project ICU really does come from that verse in Genesis where Hagar is running away because she's been mistreated and despised and doesn't know what to do. And, you know, God meets her in the desert and she says, this is the God who sees me. And it is our belief when someone is truly seen, known, heard, that it does change everything in your life. And so that is our mission, is to just see and know women specifically. And we were specifically centered on women because we have just seen when you see a woman like that, it changes everything around her. She starts changing. It starts changing the community, and it starts, you know, then the possibilities are endless after that.
I'd agree. Women are smarter, more intuitive, more relational. I wish I'd have shut up sooner and listened to my wife. I would have slowed down a lot. I was going way too fast. Mm. I thought 150 miles an hour was a good, comfortable speed, but I was an unsafe, overconfident, egotistical individual. It took years of counseling to get me to the perfection I've presently attained. You could tell that was a joke, couldn't you? A friend of mine actually said that serious once. I'm just joking. Women are something, and I like that you're focused on all women. And Project ICU is a good name.
Yeah, it is.
Because some of these people probably were in intensive care units. I see.
Well, and it's I see you, like S E E. You know,
it,
you know. Like, I mean, it can go both ways.
I guess. Well, I thought it was maybe supposed to be double meaning, but it's a good, really good name. So you have a home now in Denver.
So now, we are back in Denver, and it ended up that our leadership team, you know, we've continued to move forward in the Dominican Republic. Right now, we're about to finish a building in the Dominican Republic that's going to be an empowerment center for women there. We have an advisory team of women in the Dominican Republic that are leading that out and heading that up. And it's just amazing to see what's happened as how their community has changed. Like we've really seen it firsthand. But when we got back to Denver, I think our leadership team was like, you know, we can do this in the DR, but there's just as much need here in Denver. Why wouldn't we start moving in that direction? And so it was at that point that I started, because we'd come from immersion trips, you know, going to the Dominican Republic, I started immersing women in Denver, just from outside of Denver, just to come closer to poverty in themselves and in other people. Because I really have come to see that those verses that say, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they, they're blessed because I feel like God is just present in our poverty, whatever kind of poverty, whether it be material poverty, whether it be emotional poverty, whether it be spiritual poverty, that is where he is. And that's what compels us to do our work, is we just want to be closer to him. And so that's where he is. So as we started working with more and more in Denver, having these immersion trips and getting to know women on the street, I just think a vision just got put out there that what could this look like for them to have a place to come where they are, they are seen. And it's not just a meal. It's not just a place to lay your head. It's actually a place to come and have your story heard and have people be able to come around you and have what, you know, what you need provided, what you truly need provided. And so, that's where Te Veo House became a reality.
And those words mean?
Te Veo means I see you in Spanish.
All right.
So it's just that. Yeah.
Learning about what y'all do made me think, I hadn't thought about this in a while, but Jim Daring, there's a name. I can't believe it took me a long time to remember that, but he was the chairman of the board of a place at 8th and Logan called the Heart of Denver. And the house was started in the 40s to help rural women who were coming into the city adjust to everything that was going to be thrown at him in city life.
Right.
And when I met him in the late 80s, he said, you know, the market's kind of dried up for what we do. So we bought the house. It's now one of the homes part of the Providence Network.
Okay.
It was interesting hearing him explain why that house started in the 40s, but just to help women become acclimated to this crazy Denver scene. And now here you're doing the same thing with I See You. So where do you find the women?
So right now we are serving really closely with an organization called Women's Homelessness Initiative. And so we're serving and spending the night on Sunday nights with them and getting to know them. And I also live in a part of Denver that is a Cole Whittier area. So I'm meeting women all the time on the street. I feel like what we're seeing happen, though, is as we're putting the vision out there, more and more people are just becoming compelled to kind of get in there and be a part of it. One of the most amazing things that's just happened recently is at one of our annual fundraisers in November called Brew and Stew. A young woman approached me afterwards because I'd said we need somebody that can help remodel the house. We're at this place where we're needing to remodel it. And we need a contractor. We need electricians, plumbers. And she came up to me and just said that she really wanted to serve with us. But she said, I also may have a connection for a contractor. And I said, great. And a couple of weeks later, I get a call and I find out that who she is the daughter of the vice president of Turner Construction. And Turner Construction, it ends up being one of the largest construction firms in the nation, and they are taking on this project and have just been so humble, so willing, so great about it. And I think it's one of those things though, that you get taken back because you ask and then you see you're given the best. You're not even just given what you need. That was just one of those instances where it's like, we just got the best.
God deal. God took us right to the top and put it together. So when the home's completed, you'll have room for how many women?
So we're going to start in phases, and the first phase will be 10 women, and then we're hoping to work into to 20. And we're right now in the whole process of getting the zoning completely figured out and just getting the permit so we can start construction. And if that happens within the next few weeks, we're hoping to open the home sometime in June.
Good.
Yes.
My guest today is Mercy Tucker. She is the co-director of Project ICU. We're talking about a home that they're getting approval right now to remodel at 1520 Marion.
Yep.
And boy, this brings back good memories for me because I met a lady named Martha Wilson in the late 80s, and she worked with teenage prostitutes on Colfax between the Capitol and Yosemite. And she told me that, you know, if she was successful to get the kids to go with her, the only thing she had to offer was take them to the, I think it was a White Spot or maybe an IHOP on Colfax and have coffee for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my friend Phil, we need to get a house for this lady. And that's how we ended up buying that house at 8th and Logan. And I was thinking the community can be built so much better when you can help them with a place to live and be together in that community, mm-hmm. eat meals together, and just share the commonality of that. So good job finding a house.
Yes, I do. I feel like even that is, we're actually partnering with Open Door Ministries to do that house because it is one of the five houses that they own on Marion. And so this is definitely a joint venture with them.
So you're friends with Andy Cannon.
So I know who he is. I'm actually working with David Warren, the executive director at Open Door Ministries.
Good.
And all of
the great organization.
Yes, they're doing good work.
I forgot about that whole street they picked up on Marion, didn't
mm-hmm.
they?
And then their fellowship center is across the street. But I want to just say, just to your point, I feel like there is something about coming to the table and communing, like you were saying, is you bring people together and they're able to come around a table and actually be have their voice heard and be a part of something that's, you know, more than just themselves. I think that there is something that's life-changing in that. And so we're really hoping that for these women as they come in.
There's an energy that takes place. There's at the same time, a stability. When you have a physical plant like that, it just accelerates all pace of ministry that can take place in a person's life. So as much as it can cost, it's still the right thing to do because of that, like I say, a physical presence in a facility. It's just so much more than...
It just gives a chance for relationship. And it's like, that is it at the end of the day. Like, I mean, I think of when I think of who God is, he is relationship at the very core. I mean, Trinity, it's relationship. And it's like, I feel like that is who we are when we're our most true selves. It's about relationship. And so if you offer that, it does. It's everything.
So how can listeners today get involved in helping you?
So as we are in the process of doing the remodel, we're definitely going to have days where we are going to open it up to some volunteers and to just get more information about that. We have an info@projecticu.org that people could email and just get more information about those days that's going to be taking place. But then
the address again
is 1520 Marion Street, Denver.
And they find it on the internet by looking at
www.projecticu.org.
Projecticu.org.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and write that down, folks. Project I, not see you like hospital, but I see you with my eyes. I see you.
.org. And once the house is completed, at that point, we are going to need volunteers. Like, this is just what we want to have a lot of it be run on is either individuals or families or churches, organizations coming in and providing meals, cooking meals with the women, and sitting and eating with them. Or if it be, you know, for them to come in and have a game night or crafts or whatever it looks like for them to just get to start knowing who some of these women are and walking this out with them. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity once the house opens. But again, the great place to just kind of ask questions and get more information is just at that info@projectICU.org.
You know, Bob Scold and I were working together on that first Providence house there at 8th and Logan. And Bob used to serve muffins and juice on Fridays as the people who lived in the house would be walking through, just eating breakfast, living their lives. Mm-hmm. We'd bring in businessmen. Mm-hmm. And if say half a dozen guys were there, two of them, their hearts would be changed forever. They'd get involved just watching the clients about their mornings.
I've heard of how, like, in these projects, as they get invested even on the ground level of, like, drywalling, all of a sudden those will be volunteers that stay, because it's you get in and you see the work that God's doing. One other need I can say, too, that is there is we have a need for cabinets. We're needing those. A lot of the other materials and a lot of the other work has come through, which has been amazing, but we're at a place where we're needing cabinets, especially kitchen cabinets, and for bathrooms. So if anyone has any kind of resources in that way, that would be amazing to.
Okay, listeners, so this is You Get the Blessing. You're listening to the voice of Mercy Tucker, co-director of Project ICU. That's ICSEEUYOU.org. And we need financial contributions to help them finish remodeling this house. We need cabinets specifically. We need volunteers to come down that have some availability is the skill we really need. We don't need much talent. But get involved here if you can, folks. And help Mercy Tucker and her coworkers and the volunteers. Now, in closing, I can say, Mercy, your enthusiasm is wonderful. People that meet you are going to get fired up to get involved with you. And do you know the song by Phillips Craig and Dean, Mercy Came Running?
I'm sure I've heard it.
You're going to be so blessed when you go hear this. Phillips Craig and Dean, Christian group, pastors, all of them. My friend Randy Phillips from Austin, Texas, but Mercy Came Running is a cool song, well-written, well-performed.
I will make sure to listen.
This will be your new theme song.
Okay.
Because you have come running.
I need a theme song.
You've come running to the rescue of these women, and we wish you the best in all you guys are doing with Project ICU.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've done a good job for us here today. Listeners, thanks for being with us. And we'll be back next week on You Get the Blessing.
I never needed anybody's help in any